For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2018 Midwinter Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Sunday morning, December the 30th, 2018, Jerry McGee is the speaker of the morning, teaching on There is an Idol Lurking Behind Your Anger. This is now the conclusion of this message from Part A.
And to be complete, and if you don't deal with these wounds, eventually they'll turn into cancer or something else. And these wounds will become a festering sore that'll end up becoming some kind of sickness or disease or pain. And the scripture says, so remove vexation from your heart and put pain out of your body. The judgments we make on our parents set in motion forces that cause us to reap in kind what we've sown. 99% of marriage problems, the thing that bothers you about your mate, is something that you didn't deal with mother and daddy. That mate is mirroring what you haven't forgiven your mother and father for. I wish I'd have known that years ago, but I didn't know that. I was teaching a seminar in Georgetown, Texas, and this lady drug her husband forward, and he was furious. Anyway, she forgave her daddy. They walked off holding hands. And see, marriage, normally in a marriage, we say, you need to be loving me like Christ loves the church. Well, you need to be a submissive woman. So get in your prayer closet. Don't try to convince your mate of anything and say, Lord, how does this relate to my childhood? I can tell you, Randy and Callie, and I know a whole bunch of people that have a great marriage because they've dealt with bitter root judgments. You know, Jim and Alberta Landry are another couple that have dealt, and there's so many, but sad to say, there's not many bitter marriages because we were not taught to deal with mother-daddy issues. I skipped ahead of myself. God gives us till sundown to get over our anger. You know, I got saved reading the Bible. I wasn't even in church. And so I read the entire New Testament. And when I got to the scripture in Ephesians, it says, don't let the sun go down on your anger. I had a fear of God on me of ever letting the sun go down on my anger to give place to the devil. So I got married, and my husband and I had a disagreement. And we had it upstairs and downstairs. And he was downstairs fumigating. And I went upstairs. I wanted to go to bed. But I wouldn't dare go to bed with anger in my heart. And if you've ever lived with a person that's mad, when you get in bed, you can hear them breathing. The lights are off. Right? Good thing I was a good sleeper. But anyway, this particular night, I went upstairs and I said, Lord, why do I always have to be the one that says they're sorry? I mean, this time it's his fault. And the Lord said, yes, this time it is his fault, but you need to say you're sorry because you've got a pride problem. So I go downstairs and I say, honey, would you please forgive me? And he'll say, no, I'm not going to forgive you. I've just, you do the same thing over and over. Then I get mad all over again. Anyway, don't let the sun go down on your anger. Get it right before you go to bed. Otherwise, the enemy sows tares when men are sleeping. In the Matthew 13:24, it says, Jesus presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, can be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while he was sleeping, the enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went away. And the tares are from the judgments you make on your parents. Those are the things that are tearing you up now, is the judgments you make on your parents. God has shown me that other people that are turkeys in your face, people that you have a hard time with, are just mirroring what God wants to change in me and you. And when you see that, then their offense is not that bad. I remember being at church once and a girl said, I'm just going to move to Dallas and get a job up there. And, of course, leave her husband. It made me so furious, I couldn't believe it, but I never let on. And so before church started, I said, Lord, why does that make me so mad? And the Lord said, she said she's going to do exactly what your husband did. Well, I'd forgiven him for everything, but I didn't forgive him for moving to Dallas. So I forgave him for moving to Dallas, and the girl wasn't even an issue anymore. You see, the Lord used that button pusher to expose my own heart and what I needed to forgive. So whatever the problem is what you need to deal with next. The tares are the cucumbers, so to speak, that grow in your spiritual garden. The weeds. I already said that. James chapter 3, verse 17 and 18 says, but the wisdom from above is first peaceful, first pure, then peaceful, gentle, reasonable, full of mercy and good fruits, unwavering without hypocrisy. And the seed whose fruit is righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. So that's a good thing for us to repent over. Lord, forgive us for not being gentle, peaceful, reasonable, full of mercy, good fruit, unwavering. Forgive us for hypocrisy and not sowing seeds of righteousness. In James 1:19 through 20, it says, this you will know, my beloved brethren, but let everyone be quick to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger, for the anger of man does not achieve the righteousness of God. The righteousness of God is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and your neighbor as yourself. And that's the righteousness of God. So, Lord, forgive me for being quick to speak, slow to hear, quick to anger, and forgive me for breaking your law of love. Forgive me for breaking your covenant. Because the covenant is kept in the New Testament through loving the Lord with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, and your neighbor as yourself. And a lot of times sickness and disease in my body is because I've broken God's law of love, not walked in love. And you can think you're walking in love, but let me tell you something. You don't know the first thing about it, and neither do I. But I'm working on it. God wants us to... Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is not jealous. Love is not rude. Love doesn't seek its own way. Love does not act unbecomingly. Then comes faith, love, faith, whatever. But the greatest of these is love. Anger causes us to violate God's righteous law of love. Remember in Matthew chapter 5, Jesus gives the Beatitudes, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the merciful, goes on the blessed, blessed. And then he goes on and says in Matthew 5 that our righteousness has to exceed the law of the Pharisees, which is instead of the legalistic, keeping the law, to love the Lord with all of our heart. And when we don't love the Lord with all of our heart and our neighbors ourselves, we go into spiritual prison. It goes on to say, and so anger is like a flood that comes over us when others violate our self-made laws. And every time we let the sun go down on our anger, we're refusing to forgive those who've hurt us. And it says in Matthew 5, you'll go into spiritual prison and you'll stay there until you forgive. Matthew 5:22, but I say to you, everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, meaning you're not worth it, you're no good, or shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever shall say, you fool, meaning I regret the day I met you, I regret the day I gave you birth, I regret the day I married you, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. And that word in the Greek means the final place of punishment for the ungodly. If therefore you're presenting your offering at the altar, and there you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering. In other words, when you go to pray, you remember your brother has something against you. You go, leave your offering, and then go back, get right with your brother, and then bring your gift to the altar. When Lord first showed me this, I called a lady that was upset with me or angry. We had, I don't remember what kind of a disagreement. But I called her and I said, would you please forgive me for not loving you like I should? She said, well, I wondered when you were going to wake up. But I didn't fall into that trap. Because I didn't have to call her again. So I said, well, just please forgive me. Because I needed my prayers answered. I had a son that was living a homosexual lifestyle, and I could not afford not to get my prayers answered. I remember one time I was mad at my husband, but I never let my kids ever see that there was ever a disagreement between my husband and I. And so I remember my son, who's my pastor now, we had this island in the midst of the kitchen. He said, what's wrong, Mom? And I didn't answer him. And he leaned over the thing and said, Mom, remember that if you regard iniquity in your heart, God won't hear your prayers. And then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you're with him on the way, in order that your opponent may not deliver you to the judge. And in James 1 or James 2, it says there's one lawgiver and one judge. The judge is God. And the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. And it's a spiritual prison. It says, then I say to you, you shall not come out of there till you pay up the last cent. So that's every place you're angry. If you're angry at 500 people, you're in 500 different prisons. That's why deliverance is a process of sanctification. In the physical realm, we don't go to jail every time we're angry unless you break the laws of the land. But in God's spiritual economy, every time that we violate God's law of love, we go into a spiritual prison. And God's economy, we go into a spiritual prison. Unforgiveness causes us to be turned over to the tormentors, and I'm not going to read it because of time, but read Matthew 18, where Jesus gives the parable of the servant who owed him about $18, and there was one who owed about $10 million. And the one who owed $10 million asked the Lord for mercy, and God gave him mercy. He goes out and finds somebody that owes him $18, grabs him around the neck and chokes him and says, pay up. And he said, I can't pay up. So he throws him in prison. So when you don't forgive someone, you put them in a spiritual prison concerning you. And then the Lord's servants went and told the Lord about this. And he said, you wicked servant, you know, I forgave you all that debt. Why couldn't you forgive? And it says in Matthew 18:33-35, should you not also have had mercy on your fellow slave, even as I had mercy on you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handed him over to the torturers until he should pay all that was owed him. So, and he was talking. Jesus was talking to Peter too. He was talking to a believer. He said, so shall my heavenly Father also do to you, Peter, if each of you does not forgive his brother from your heart. Now, tormentors means the demons that inflict pain. It means the pain of disease. It means an inquisitor. An inquisitor would stretch someone out on a rack and torture them till they got what they wanted. That's what an inquisitor is. And so you can see how when we don't forgive, we're turned over to sickness. So if some of you have got sickness in your body, you're holding unforgiveness someplace. You're tormented if you're tormented. And I want to say this. The Bible says that your enemies are not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Right? Even if it's demon-possessed people, your enemy is the demons working in them. And so you have authority as a believer. And so if you're, most of you are angry at the people that have hurt you, if you're angry, there's some of you that believe that you're fighting people when you're actually fighting demons, and you feel guilty because you can't forgive them. It's an ongoing torment every day, day and night, you're being tormented, and you feel guilty because you can't forgive them, because you know the Bible says if you don't forgive, you're going to not go to heaven. But you don't have to forgive demons. You see, there's a freedom in knowing your enemy is not flesh and blood, but principalities and powers. Now, that's not what my word says. That's what God's word says. And so from the heart, how to forgive. Jesus said, if you don't forgive from the heart. And I shared this at the prayer group the other morning, and I'll share it again of how to forgive. If you can quickly forgive, it's a choice. It's not an emotion. But if you can quickly forgive, it's not a hard issue. But if you say the words, I choose to forgive somebody, and it keeps coming back, maybe a day later, a week later, 2 weeks later, a month later, it's a mother and daddy issue. And I went to lunch with someone one day. We got in an argument. She said she was sorry. I said I was sorry. And so the next day I was still arguing with her in my head. I can't believe she's so critical. I can't believe she's so negative. And I just said, Lord, she said she was sorry. And I said, I was sorry. Why can't I get over this? And the Lord said, you can't get over it because she's just like your mother. Well, Lord, I don't know what to forgive my mother for. Well, forgive your mother for everything you can't stand about this person. And it was totally over. See, people mirror what God wants to change in us. He lets people push your buttons to show you what's there. And normally we just get them, our buttons pushed, and we don't find out, well, why did that push my button? Goes back to mother. That's a heart issue. Ephesians 4 says, be angry and sin not. And what that means is, I used to think it meant to ignore that you were angry. Are you angry? My husband said, are you angry? No. You sure? Mm-mm. No. You mad? Mm-mm. You've got a funny look on your face. No, no. No, I'm not angry. It doesn't mean that it means to be angry and sin not means that don't let your anger turn into sin. You've got till sundown to deal with it. And since anger breaks God's law of love, with it becomes many undesirable consequences. Proverbs 19:19 says, an angry man must bear the penalty, and of course that's demonization. And you can clearly see in the life of Saul how in 1 Samuel 18, the progression of demonization. Remember, Saul got jealous because the ladies in the city were saying, Saul has killed his thousands and David's killed his 10,000s. And Saul got jealous. He got angry and threw a spear at him. He became very angry in verse 10. And he was saying, for this saying, this pleased him. And he said, they have ascribed to David 10,000, but to me they've only ascribed 1,000. Now much more would he want than the kingdom. And Saul looked at David with suspicion from that day on. So you see the progression. Now it came about the next day that an evil spirit from God. You see that? An evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul, and he raved in the midst of the house. I want you to underline an evil spirit from God. While David was playing the harp, Saul threw a spear at him, tried to kill him, and then the progression, it ended up in death. In 1 Samuel 31, verse 3 through 6, Saul kills himself, committed suicide. A spear, yes. Anger has many negative, and any negative emotion can change the chemistry of your blood, and it's at the root of many, many of your physical problems. In fact, it'll kill you if you don't get over it. Proverbs 14:30 says, and we're almost through, a tranquil heart, which means healing and cure and health. A tranquil heart, peaceful heart, is life to the body, but passion, which is anger, rivalry, jealousy, rottens the bones. Could that be why they do a lot of bone marrow tests to check the bones? The bones means your substance and yourself and your strength. And here's some additional facts about anger. I'm going to read them real quick. So being slow to anger is better than being mighty, the Bible says. Proverbs 16:32 says, he who is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit is better than he who captures a city. A man who's slow to anger is prudent and has insight. Proverbs 19:11, a man's discretion makes him slow to anger, and it's his glory to overlook a transgression. A wise man turns away anger. Proverbs 29:9. Scorners, and Kernan taught on this last night, set a city aflame, but wise men turn away anger. Calling after the wind causes you to eat in darkness, it says in Ecclesiastes, with great vexation, sickness, and anger. Accomplishing God's purpose first, to be fruitful and do what God tells you to do, it says in Ecclesiastes. You will not often consider the years of your life because God will keep you occupied with gladness of heart. The greatest thing in the world is to know you have a purpose higher than yourself. It's like serving God, and you don't have to have a ministry. Each of you are ambassadors to Christ. Every last one of you have a ministry with whoever you're around. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they see your good works and glorify my Father who's in heaven. But there's nothing greater than knowing you're accomplishing what God put you here for. Most people live their life in the nasty now and now and go off into eternity if they get to heaven, shrinking back at his coming. I can't think of anything that would be sadder for me if I lost everything in the world. That's one thing I don't want to lose, is my relationship with the Lord. It's like a carrot on a stick driving me further towards the Lord. A work in progress. And that's I'm not going to read it, but that's Ecclesiastes 5, 16 through 20. There's another scripture that says, vexation slays a man. A fool eats in darkness with great vexation and anger. Anger resides in the bosom of fools. That could be a bosom problem, a lung problem. A major root to heart and lung problems. Ecclesiastes 7:9. Do not be eager in your heart to be angry, for anger resides in the bosom of fools. If it's your habit or custom to be practice the deeds of the flesh, the Bible says you'll not inherit the kingdom of God. And it's an evidence you really don't know God and you're headed for destruction. Many people in the church, Linda Ravenhill says only 5% of church members are truly born again. Howard Pittman says only 10% of church members are truly born again. And when you're born again, you can't do the things you used to do. You can't explain being born again, but it's just that you know that you know that you know that something's, even though you're a work in progress and so messed up, God has done a work in your heart that you don't even want to do the things that you used to do. I used to curse like a sailor, and I was in the kitchen one day right after I became born again. I didn't even realize what had happened to me, but after reading the Bible, I said to me, a curse word came out of my mouth, and I said, Lord, that doesn't sound like anything that a Christian ought to say, and God delivered me 46 years ago from profanity. That day, instantly, the minute I confessed my sin. It says, but the deeds of the flesh are evident, which are sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery. And that word is, I think King James says witchcraft, but it's also pharmakia. Enmity, strife, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness. And there's spiritual drunkenness and physical drunkenness. There's churches all over that are teaching that this drunk in the spirit thing is the Holy Spirit, but it's actually the unholy spirit. And I can show you in the Word of God that God gives the harlot a wine that makes her drunk. And he also has a good wine from his table. It says, and those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. Now those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passion, with its passions and desires. If you live by the Spirit, let us so walk by the Spirit. So why don't you stand up and ask the Lord to show you, is there anybody you're angry, bitter about, somebody you've been trying to forgive and couldn't forgive? So pray with me. Lord, in Jesus' name, I ask you to search my heart, test my thoughts. Lord, let me know the truth that sets me free. Show me what I need to repent of, because Lord, every day I want to change from glory to glory, and when I enter eternity, I want to be squeaky clean. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. And just let the Lord show you and repent of You know, when I said I gave my family to the Lord, things that used to hurt me, my little granddaughter was in my lap till she was 12 years old, and then I went through about 10 or 15 years up into the present to where my heart was broke. I grieved so many years. Can I tell you, I don't grieve anymore? Grieving is over. Honestly, I can let it all go. It doesn't matter anymore because I know I prayed and God's going to do His perfect will. Praise the Lord. So, Lord, in Jesus' name, what do I need to deal with? I pray for your grace, peace, and mercy to be upon me. Your glory to rest upon me. And your mighty Holy Spirit to touch my life. And think about, where is your life not going well? You can trace that back to the judgment you made on your mother and father. What is it you can't stand about your mate? Are they just like mother and daddy, or are you just like your mother and daddy? What is it you can't stand about your boss? Is he like your mother and daddy? And just sit down when you're through.
Everybody's sitting down. I can't tell. Lord, forgive me for idolatry. Trusting other things more than I trust you. God, forgive me for loving other things more than I love you. Forgive me for fear, anger, bitterness. God, forgive me for producing from the wrong vine. A different rock. And Lord, the enemy sees this and they can attack me when they see I'm operating under the wrong rock. Father, forgive me for becoming callous, hard-hearted. I forgive my parents for everything I can't stand about my mate, everything I can't stand about my boss. Forgive me for being a fool and letting anger reside in my bosom. Forgive me for passion that's rotten my bones. Forgive me for not having a tranquil heart. Forgive me for making vows when I was a child that when I grow up, life's going to be different. Life hasn't been different. I keep reaping, and it seems like it's getting worse instead of better. You know, a lot of times people want to get a divorce because they think that, you know, they can't stand the turkey they're living with, and guess what? They marry a worse turkey. And a worse one, and a worse one, and a worse one. If you can't learn to overcome in your trials, then you're just going to get a worse situation. I remember telling my last husband, he's dead now. He said, if I'd have known the way you were, I'd have never married you. And I said, well, honey, I marry you all over again. And he went, you would? I said, yeah, where do you think I got the material for this seminar? Not only his stuff, though, me learning how can I love, how can I be what God wants me to be. God, forgive me for compromising and bowing down to people's false gods. Forgive me for fear of man that has brought a snare. Forgive me for all the times I've let the sun go down on my anger. And I forgive my parents for not training me up in the way I should go. I forgive them for training me up in the way I should not go. I ask you to break that demonic default. I forgive my father and mother for provoking me to anger and not bringing me up in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. Forgive me for making judgments on them. Letting the sun go down on my anger. Turning to promises I made myself. That when I grow up, life's going to be different. Lord, I just turn to false gods. And I turn back from those false gods. And I turn to you, Lord. And Lord, I've been wounded in all these areas where I have a false god. I break every vow I made. Every promise I made to myself. God, forgive me for allowing the enemy to sow tares in my garden, in my spiritual garden.
fears. And Lord, my life is not going well in these areas you've shown me, because I judged my mother and father and didn't honor them. Forgive me for always thinking it's the other person, instead of realizing they're mirroring what I need to get fixed. Forgive me, Lord, for saying Raka, you fool, not making friends with my enemy. And I've gone into a spiritual prison because of unforgiveness and anger. God, I've been turned over to the tormentors because of unforgiveness. I pull down, uproot, and pluck out all of those demonic tares in Jesus' name. Forgive me for not walking in love, breaking your covenant. Forgive me for violating your righteous law of love. I choose by an act of my will to forgive every person that has hurt me and treated me just like my mother and daddy treated me. I forgive my mother and father. I get off my judge's bench. I walk over to your courtroom. And I put him in your courtroom, Lord, where you said vengeance is yours. You will repay. Lord, I ask you to take me out of prison in all these areas. Open the bars. Because I forgive. And Lord, I forgive. And I ask you to remove the tormentors, the sickness and disease, the inquisitor from my life. Forgive me for being a person of great anger, which has caused me to bear the penalty of demonization. Forgive me for being just like King Saul, wanting to kill myself even. I break the vows, I'll kill myself. I want to die. Lord, forgive me for depression, hurt, bitterness, wanting to kill myself. Forgive me for trying to kill myself. Forgive me for not having a tranquil heart. Forgive me for not being slow to anger. Forgive me for being a scoffer. Forgive me for not being slow to anger. Forgive me for not turning away anger. Forgive me for toiling after the wind, which has caused me to eat in darkness with great vexation and sickness and anger. Lord, I remove vexation, anger, provocation, bitterness, hurt, grief, sorrow, idolatry from my heart, and I put pain out of my body. All pain has to leave their bodies in Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Bless you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. Forgive me for practicing anger. Doing things in the flesh. Fleshly works. Forgive me, Lord, for sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, pharmakia, enmities, strife, witchcraft, jealousy, outbursts of anger, disputes, dissensions, factions, envying, drunkenness, carousing. I ask you to forgive me. And Lord, forgive me for not walking by the Spirit, living by the Spirit, and walking by the Spirit. And Lord, I take accountability for everything I've confessed all the way back to Adam and Eve. And I forgive my mother and father for everything I've confessed that they've done. I ask you to start with Adam and Eve and let your cleansing blood flow down through my bloodline washing away any ground Satan's had in my life, in the life of my descendants, throughout what I've confessed. I break generational curses, soul tie curses, cultural curses, in the name of Jesus. I break soul ties with every person I've named, and with my mother and father and my forefathers. I call back my soul and human spirit from them. I send back their souls and human spirits back to them. I exchange their image for the image of Christ. In Jesus' name, now command every demon to leave that came in through what they've confessed. Come out now in Jesus' name. Fear, doubt, unbelief, worry, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness. Come out, depression, despair, hopelessness. Come out, fear of man, rejection. I break your power. I break the power of fear of failure, fear of disapproval, fear of not being loved, fear of not being liked, fear of saying it wrong, fear of doing it wrong. All spirits of legalism, performance, I command you to go. All religious spirits, I break your power. I break the power of fear, anxiety, tension, stress, nervousness. Come out. Mental problems, mental illness. I break the power of deception and delusion. Come out now in Jesus' name. Hatred, variance, strife, emulation. Come out. Bitterness, root of bitterness. I command you to leave now in Jesus' name. I break your power in the mighty name of Jesus. Horror, terror, jealousy, envy, greed, love of money, selfishness. I command sexual immaturity. I command bestiality to come out. I command adultery to come out. I command caffeine to come out. And I command drugs, alcohol, in Jesus' name, ADHD, come out. All spirits of mind control, come out now in Jesus' name. Spirits of lewdness, wanton, lasciviousness, licentiousness, drunkenness, carousing, a party spirit, spiritual drunkenness, I command out. Physical drunkenness, I command out. Drunk on food, gluttony, come out. Overindulgence, I command diabetes to come out. Compromise to come out. High blood pressure, I break your power. Every spirit that has deceived them about what they're fighting, come out now in Jesus' name. Every spirit of lewdness, seduction, pornography, I break your power. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, come out now in Jesus' name. Sexual immorality, adultery, fornication, come out now in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, rebellion, antichrist, anger, bitterness, unforgiveness, tormentors, come out now in Jesus' name. I break your power. The spirit of a Pharisee, come out in Jesus' name. I break your power. Confusion. All spirits makes them feel mixed up, damned, and uneasy. All spirits of addictions to drugs, I break yokes of bondage off their neck in the name of Jesus. All spirits of pride, arrogance, boastfulness, egotism, Leviathan, Python, Jezebel, Ahab, come out now in Jesus' name. Antichrist spirits, come out, mind control, witchcraft. I break your power. I break the power of the curses that have been sent against us. All satanic curses, all satanic rituals, we tear down those strongholds. We tear down these strongholds in every life. In Jesus' name, all spirits of warring, fighting, contention, strife, go, love of self, come out in Jesus' name. All spirits of idolatry, trusting something other than God, come out now in Jesus' name. All spirits that came in through letting the sun go down in their anger, come out now in the name of Jesus. Praise you, mighty God. Self-pity, come out. Attention-getting spirits, come out now in Jesus' name. All spirits of compromise, double-mindedness, come out now in Jesus' name. Praise you, mighty God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. When you feel a release, lift your hands and sing with me. Thou art worthy, great Jehovah. Thou art worthy, mighty God. Thou art worthy, Abba Father. Thou art worthy, Lamb of God. Bless you, Lord. Bless you, Lord. Praise you, Lord. I exalt you. I exalt you, I exalt you. And Lord, fill me with love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith. Are y'all praying? Meekness, self-control, in Jesus' name. And Lord, we ask you to bless this food that we're about to perceive and we're about to eat, partake of. We ask you to bless it. Bless Rick, bless Patty, bless Kevin. Lord, bless Linda, bless Dan, Crystal, the family, the children, every person that works here at Lakes Hamilton. Lord, we ask you to bless Marilyn Barbara. We just break the power of pain over Barbara, migraine headaches. We break it in the name of Jesus. And we break the power of migraine headaches over every person in this room. Headaches in Jesus' name have to go. Cancer has to leave in Jesus' name. All spirits that are the repercussions of anger and bitterness, come out now. It's inferiority in Jesus' name. Come out now in Jesus' name. Amen. If Jesus Christ lives in us, how can we be inferior? Because we contain the King of Kings. Amen. And Lord, we pray that your love will flow out through each of us to every person we meet. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.